Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be jumping into the first chapter of the book of Chronicles. Have you ever done a saliva test and had your DNA analyzed? People are often shocked to find out that although they're maybe fully white, they have DNA from somewhere in Morocco. Or even if they look fully Hispanic, the majority of their DNA is Dutch. One of my own daughters is part African-American, Mexican, and Filipino, with a little Anglo thrown in there just to pepper it. We could hit almost any type of restaurant on a Friday night and still be celebrating a piece of her heritage. Whenever I hear people sharing the results of a tiny percentage of their DNA, sharing a slice of ethnicity from the other side of the world, I always think, now there's a story I'd love to hear. Well, the genealogy of Jesus is a lot like that. Over the next 9 chapters, we're going to look at the lineage of the tribe of Judah, but also the other tribes, and even further back to some of the ancestors of some of the most powerful kingdoms of the ancient world in the Middle East. These genealogies are full of characters, tragedies, and like every drop of blood, there's a story of a nation hidden within that DNA code, stories of generations gone by. And my hope and aim during these next 9 chapters is to do a flyover and sometimes zoom in on some of the characters and stories found in them so you can see more than just the list of names in a family tree, but to hear these names as the Hebrews would have heard them, to have the imagery, the testimonies, and yes, the stories that each name would conjure up. Hearing this is the way that the Hebrews heard it, and it would do one thing. It would demonstrate that no one individual in these storylines was the star of the narrative. No, the central figure in all these stories is God Himself. And that's why history really is His story. At least, that's the way the Hebrews thought of it. And it's time to teach you how to think more like one of the Hebrews in this book of the Hebrews. Chapter 1 covers the genealogy of Adam all the way up to Jacob. Now, that's a fitting place to break it because the descendants of Jacob's sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel. But let's go back to the very beginning, to Adam. You'll notice that the son mentioned in this chapter is Seth. Now, you might be thinking, wait, surely it should read the lineage of Adam, then Cain or Abel. But remember, we're not studying characters of the Bible or following the stories that a children's Bible might highlight. We're studying the line of the Messiah prophesied all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan was told that through the woman's seed or offspring, the serpent would have his head crushed. If you remember, that first chapter of Genesis told us everything produced seed according to its kind. In fact, the book of Genesis means generations. What did the plants generate? What did they produce? Now, a generation is something that is generated, produced, so in the beginning chapters we have what God generated, the world, and everything in it. The language in the Hebrew is very specifically themed around what God generates or produces, creation. And creation generates seed according to its kind. Plants generate or produce seed according to their kinds. Plants make plants. Animals generate animals. Fish generate fish. Birds generate birds. And so everything in Genesis, and we're careful to be told this, is generating or producing according to its kind, except for man. Man, in Genesis chapter 3, generates sin. And it doesn't take long for us to see what Adam and Eve generate according to their own kind. They are sinners, therefore they beget little sinners according to their own kind. They produce more like themselves, more of those that choose to go their own way, just like they did in the garden. More than insist that they know better, more that seek their own. And when Eve gives birth, her mind races back to the promise that her seed, or what she produces from her body, what she generates, will crush the head of the serpent. Her seed, her offspring, will undo the curse. And Genesis tells us that as she's giving birth, she says or exclaims, "I have received the man from God." In our Bibles, it's often translated "a man," but really it's "the man." The Messiah, the one who will undo all of this cursing. But of course, Cain is not the man. He grows up to be a murderer. He's anything but the hope of the world. And Abel, the younger brother, grows in favor with God, for he had faith, Hebrew tells us. And Cain therefore kills him and is further cursed himself and driven from men. Now we've got a dead brother and a missing one with greater cursing than was given in the garden. And so now the lineage picks up with Seth, the other son mentioned as the one who will carry on the family line that we'll read about in the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that Adam and Eve didn't have other kids. They certainly would have done, but Seth is the one that we're going to follow. Verse 1 says, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The camera locks onto that one, and from then on, all the other cars go their way and fade out of view. So as we follow Seth's line down the freeway, we encounter Enoch in the next car who walks with God and suddenly disappears from earth as if a UFO beamed him up off the motorway. Because as it says, that he walked with God and the Lord took him. Now I have no idea what that means, and neither does anyone else, despite what you might read in a commentary. Although people will tell you all kinds of things, quoting from Elijah being taken in a fiery chariot to UFOs, I wasn't joking, to a metaphor for death. But I think it simply means what it says. He walked with God, and God took him. I think it was something good, and I think God told us as vaguely as he did for a reason. From there we hit Methuselah, whose death is foretold by Enoch the prophet, that when he dies it will come. And the day he dies, rather than a mist coming up from the ground like in your prehistoric textbooks, rain falls from the sky and floods the earth. Then we have Lamech, a man who boasts of killing people, so many in fact, that he boasts that God needs to curse him 7 times as much as he did curse Cain for just killing one man. Until finally we hit Noah, who, as a bright light against this black curtain of night as a backdrop, these evil people finds favor with God because, we're told, God showed him grace. Then in the rest of the chapter, we get the lists of Noah, the sons of Noah, whom one Ham becomes cursed right away for doing something immediately after the flood. So even after a second chance and a do-over for planet Earth, mankind almost immediately brings more curses on himself. The reason why? He's still a sinner, and he's still going to produce according to his kind. Until that one comes. You know, in these few short names in this chapter, we've already seen what man produces, and it's not pretty. Man produces more and more sin, which leads to more and more cursing until we hit Abraham. When God says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, there hasn't been a blessing since Genesis chapter 1 until Abraham in Genesis 11. And with Abraham, he says, I'm going to make you a people, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people, and I'll dwell in your midst, just like I did in Eden. It will be a glimpse of what is to come when you get to the end of this genealogy and you'll see what I bring. Well, that's all we have time for today, but read 1 Chronicles chapter 1 where you'll meet the Cushites of Africa, the Edomites descended from Esau who will later become the Syrians and the Assyrians, and you'll see the Egyptians, the sons of Ishmael, who grew up into Arabians. It's quite a chapter, and believe me, there's a ton of stories here, but this is through the Word, and we only have 9 minutes or less to cover the origins of the world. Not bad for less than 10 minutes. But hey, if a drop of blood can contain all that genealogy on a microscopic level and genetic code, then we can handle it too. This is Peyton Jones, walking you on your journey through the Word in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Join me tomorrow, and we'll continue our journey in the book of Chronicles on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.